clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. Here's McHugh.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Tonight, shortly after the full-time whistle of our 2-0 victory over Queen of the South, I'm joined by Joe McKelvey and Ben Banks to look back on the opening three fixtures of our Betfred League Cup campaign. We'll preview the meeting with Clyde on Saturday. We'll discuss the appointment of Peter Hartley as the Motherwell captain, the signing of Connor Salmon, and whatever takes our fancy over this shortened podcast of half an hour or so. Guys, welcome along.
Thank you.
Joe, I'll start with yourself, and following a positive start, a 5-0 victory over Edinburgh City, we followed that up with a disappointing penalty shootout loss to Stranraer. Tonight, we needed a response, and the players very much gave us that, a 2-0 victory over Queen of the South. A job well done, and it's a very important result as well, which means we go into Saturday's game against Clyde, knowing that victory will secure top spot in a progression in the Cup, which started us off very nicely last season, it must be said.
Absolutely. We rode our luck in the first 5-10 minutes tonight. Maybe I think Carson had a good save then. But aside from that and Carson's fantastic save in the second half, we were very much a team in control. Managed to put Queen of the South in the back foot, almost to the point where they were lashing out in the second half. I'm very impressed with Salmon, that he kind of scored two goals, took them very well. Especially when I was kind of a bit of a cynic to signing him myself, but that certainly went a long way to kind of turning my opinion round early on. It was a fantastic professional performance tonight, and it kind of does stand us in good stead to enter the final game with Clyde and hopefully put Saturday down to just being a blip.
Ben, it can't be understated how important the Cups were for us last season. I think there was times where we were particularly below par in the league and it papered over the cracks somewhat that we were into the deeper stages of the Cup. Obviously fell short in both the finals, but there was a real sense of dread that Stranraer result could be leading towards an early Cup exit. So to go out and win against a side that have performed very well in the early stages of the Betfred League Cup was very important tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, last season with the two cup finals, if you take them away, I mean, we finished seventh. And, I mean, if we didn't have the two cup finals, then it'd just be seen as a boring average season for Mullow, really. So the cups are really important for Mullow because it's the only chance we're going to get to win silverware. We fell short twice last season. But, I mean, we're not going to be able to challenge Celtic, Rangers or Aberdeen, even, any time soon. But, it's definitely a good start. There was definitely a few panic buttons hit on Saturday. I know a couple of mine were just ringing in my head for some of the performances. But it's good to just, hopefully that is just a blip and we can move on from that. I thought it was a really professional performance. Similar in the way to Edinburgh City, where we just came out. So apart from the first 5 minutes, blew them away in the rest of the half, and then were comfortable in possession and a professional performance in the second half.
Joe, an instrumental player in the victory was Connor Salmon with both the goals. A player that divided opinions on his signing. For me personally, I always question signing a player from another Premiership side on loan. That means that he's ruled out of 3 games at least over the course of the season. We look back at last season and Nadir Chiefchi, who put in his best performance in a Motherwell jersey in the final game of the season, then was ruled out of the cup final because Celtic were his parent club. Connor Salmon, though, very much seems like a player that's almost in the last chance saloon. It's almost 10 years since his move from Kilmarnock to Derby County for over £1 million. He has scored down south, he has scored in the early stages at Hearts and then in his loan spell at Partick Thistle last season, but it's certainly not hit the heights that many predicted he would go on to after that really purple patch at Kilmarnock all these years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I was one of the biggest cynics about signing him, if I'm completely honest. It's not down to the fact he's Connor Salmon or what he's done in his career before. I just think at this stage we have two target men already at the club, and Main and Bowman, and I was just thinking that maybe having a third experienced striker at the club being a target man as well wasn't the kind of signing I was expecting us to see. I was asking myself, can he offer us more than Main or Bowman can? Not seen a lot of Johnson yet, but I was thinking if we were going to get another striker on, I would like it to be maybe a pacey, dynamic striker. They could maybe offer us something different if we were needing to change a game. But he's come in tonight, he's held the ball in very well, and he's scored two goals that were by no means easy finishes. So yeah, we have to kind of sit back and say that if he's going to be producing performances like that, it certainly will be a fantastic signing for us. We've signed him on loan from Hearts, and as you say, we'll miss three games, but the upstart of that is the fact that Hearts are still paying a percentage of his wages, and if Hearts are paying for a guy that's scoring goals for Motherwell, then that's kind of that's something that has to be looked upon as a positive. But yeah, I think he will be a player that can offer you something in the SPL. We know he can score goals in the league. He's done that before. He scored 10 in a struggling Partick side last season, including 8 in 8 games at one point, which has the positive of the fact he can go on a scoring run, but also the negative of the fact that you ask yourself, what was he doing in the rest of the season, only getting 2 goals?
Yeah, that's it, Ben. There was a few people a wee bit negative about the signing policy as well. We've looked to guys down south generally to bring them on and sell them on for a profit. This obviously will definitely not happen with Connor Salmon, given that he's not our player. It also, as a situation with the younger players who are coming through, already we've seen guys like Barry Maguire, David Turnbull, James Scott don't appear to be in the manager's plans, or certainly not in his immediate plans, given his 18s for the first three games of the League Cup. Is that a double-edged sword? Because I look at tonight and Connor Salmon scoring 2 goals. How does Curtis Main get back in? Maybe the answer to that is Ryan Bowman get injured tonight. But, you know, they're very similar players. Connor Salmon has scored 2 goals. So how do you replace him with a player very similar to him in Curtis Main on Saturday? It would seem somewhat unfair, almost.
No, I think competition's healthy. I think we lacked that in the striker department last year, after Molt left, and we were left with Bowman, Trifchi and Main, and there wasn't really much depth. I mean, James Scott was used scarcely throughout the back end of last season, but I think having 4 forwards now, Salmon being probably the more experienced one now, I think the competition is going to be good, and I think it'll be even maybe benefit someone like James Scott in that forward role, learning from a striker who, even though it may have been 10 years since he got his big money move down south, he has been about the Scottish game for a number of years now. He's 31, so, and he has scored goals. He has scored goals for teams. He did score 10 for Partick last season. Yes, 8 of them were in a run of 8 games, but he knows where the net is if he can get the service. So it's definitely, there's pros and cons to the Connor Salmon signing.
Yeah, absolutely. It brings us on nicely to the Clyde game. Joe, we've perhaps brushed over given the positive nature of tonight's result, but it's difficult as someone that travelled down to Stranraer on Saturday to ignore the fact how poor we can be at times. Clyde, a side that brushed Stranraer aside quite comfortably tonight, 3-1, they'll be full of confidence and looking at that result the Motherwell had at Stranraer, thinking, why can we not be the next team to upset the odds? A difficult challenge, and in a game that we need to win. It's initially when it was announced, you're thinking that game's on the television, potentially a dead rubber, but it's anything but.
Yeah, I mean, no one would have kind of expected us to get beaten by Stranraer. yeah, I suppose it technically was a draw, but a draw followed by them winning a shootout probably comes into the defeat category for me. But certainly at the time, you know, you would have expected Motherwell to get past the opponents in the group. If anything, we would have thought tonight would have been the most challenging game. But I mean, at the same time, since this new League Cup group format started, I think we're about the only team who really, until this point, hadn't really had any kind something that formulated a banana skin. We've actually, until now, overcame all our kind of lesser opponents, and it might be, you might see it differently in the old format of the competition, where you play one team and then maybe a few weeks later you play another team. But when you play three or four of them all in a short space, I mean, by the low average, you're probably going to put in a poor performance against one of them at some stage. It doesn't justify it. It doesn't make sense of it. But I wouldn't use the fact that Clyde beat Stranraer tonight kind of as any sort of marker for Saturday. I think we certainly go out as favourites, and we should have enough about us to get the job done. But I did notice tonight that Goodwillie managed to get a couple of the goals for Clyde in their victory against Stranraer, a controversial character. Without going into that in any great depth, he's obviously played in the top flight in Scotland before, and there's been talk this summer of maybe a return to the top flight for him, so he'll certainly be out to show that he can cut it against a Premiership side. So he'll be one to watch, no doubt. But I certainly do think we should be considering ourselves comfortable to get over the line.
And then there's not been the wholesale changes that there was last summer. Stephen Robinson currently on 6 new signings, and he's very much strengthened the competition for places. You look across the team and there's many positions where there's 2 or 3 players vying for the one slot in the starting 11. He has tinkered with his side, possibly to the detriment on Saturday, but to have more positive results tonight. Saturday, again, a few selection headaches. You look at the captain, Peter Hartley, dropping out the starting 11 from Saturday to not starting tonight. Alan Campbell came back in, but Alan Campbell will be suspended for the first game at Hibs. Would you expect to see Stephen Robinson mixing it up again for this one?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Edinburgh City put in 11, 4 or 5 changes at Stranraer, and then also the poor performance, and then 4 or 5 changes again, so it'll probably be the same. There's still a few players we've not seen any of yet. I mean, we've not seen any of Gael Bigramana. We've seen very few minutes from Grimshaw and Alex Rodriguez-Gorin. Danny Johnson's not seen many minutes, so you'd like to hope maybe some of them would get some minutes, because they need the minutes, especially Bigramana. I thought he had a poor season last season by all accounts. I thought he was a name at least last summer, and he was sort of used as a squad player for most of the year. So and then the cup final, when he came off the bench, I thought he really changed the game. So I'd like to see him get some minutes, and with Gorin in the middle, I think they're two really good creative players for us potentially. So probably 4 or 5 changes for us, and we should have more than enough to see off Clyde. It's not fair to use the Stranraer game as a marker, to be honest, because they got beat. They conceded 5 to Queen of the South, and they've conceded 3 or 4 to Clyde tonight. So I think that was just a major blip for us, and Stranraer probably played the best they'll play all season, so we should have enough to get by Clyde.
Gael Bigramana, Joe, certainly a player that you've got a lot of time for his exploits in a different colour of jersey, but it's been strange, because you look at the pre-season games and he was involved, and now no game time in the first 3 group stage fixtures. Wasn't an unused sub again tonight. He'll certainly be a frustrated figure, Gael Bigramana, and there is real competition in that area, but he does offer something a bit different. Although, when I read the description of Alex Rodriguez-Gorin, he doesn't seem very different to Gael Bigramana, it must be said.
Yeah, when we signed Rodriguez-Gorin, he kind of was described as 6'1", strong but technical and and other things, and you were thinking to yourself with the description that with Carroll McHugh was really good in the air playing central midfield last season, or maybe aspects of his distribution and things and decision making that could have been better. You put that down to a number of factors, whereas Big Romana perhaps wasn't so physical, but when he got on the ball, he could thread passes, and we certainly, it was almost like instantly we noticed in the cup final when he came on that we were starting to pass the ball and we were starting to kind of retain it. And I think sometimes in this kind of 3-5-2 formation we've got, we do go direct, do play off second balls and things, but there are times when that's not working and the game needs to be slowed down. And as you say, I know Big Romana well from having a good soft spot for Coventry and going down to watch them a few times this season. When Russell Slade managed Coventry for a period of time, it didn't last the season. It was a period in the middle of the season. And he had a kind of direct style of play, almost similar to what Robinson was trying to achieve at Fir Park, but Slade didn't carry it off very well. In that period of time, Big Romana didn't play at all. So I think it's a style of manager that doesn't like him. But he did manage to win the Player of the Year for each performances before and after. He operates well on a team that passes the ball, and I just don't think that in the style of play we play that he's going to manage to excel in that. And it disappoints me in ways, because last season I thought it was quite a marquee signing for us, and I think without having seen an extensive amount of Rodriguez Gorin so far, I think he is technically the best midfielder we do have, and certainly very easy on the eye to watch. But the likes of Elliot Freer, who's not a natural left wing back, the system we played doesn't suit every single player we have in our squad.
Yeah, there was an interesting kind of exchange in Pine Bovril the other night regarding our style of play and almost the correlation with results. If results aren't going well, then there were certain posters believed that there wouldn't be very much sympathy in the bank for Robinson, because if in a results-driven industry, obviously when you're winning, people are fairly positive regardless, but when you're playing quite I think it's fair to say, an unattractive style of football, and you're also not winning football matches, then it's going to be difficult to see Robinson avoid a very difficult time. And he did have that December where results were going badly, and I wouldn't say the knives were out, but there was certainly doubts. For myself personally, I think that Robinson's built up a degree of sympathy for, or a right to, a stay of execution regardless of what happens this season on the back of what he did last season. But I think by the same token, there will be supporters, won't there, Ben, that aren't happy with the style of play, and if the results are bad, then they'll certainly not be quick to voice their opinions. They'll not be slow to voice their opinions, they'll be very quick.
yeah, definitely. I mean, we're not like Barcelona playing at tiki-taka football. We are a bit the hammer throwers, as it was getting bandied about last season. No, definitely. There was obviously the doubts. I was definitely one of them when Robinson came in. He just came off, obviously, Ian Barraclough's assistant, and then he had a torrid time at Oldham. So there's still a few cynics out there who are just waiting for him to slip up, almost, because we don't play attractive football. But I think what we do is we play our style of football well. People don't like coming up against big Curtis Main running at them, like defences, and they don't like coming up against Cedric Kipre and Peter Hartley. So I think we play our style of football well, and I mean, what's the point in playing nice passing football if we can't do it properly? I'd rather see my team win a dodgy game, scrappy game, no much football being played, 1-0, than get beat 3-1 playing nice football.
It's hard to disagree, isn't it, Joe? You've got to play to your strengths, but by the same token, I do feel that we need to get off to a positive start. I think tonight was a real positive step forward after a wee bit of negativity, and given the success of last season, or the relative success anyway, it was quite surprising to see a wee bit of a backlash.
Absolutely. The thing that you mentioned there about December last year, I remember we went to Partick midweek, and the first half we'd done the whole hammer throwing direct football, and it clearly wasn't working that night. And I remember at half time we brought on Tanner and Big Romana, who by all accounts are probably our two most technical players at the club. In the second half we looked a different team. The thing for me is that our direct style of play suits us 75-80% of the time. I think there is time where we could maybe think of having a plan B, and that probably sits somewhere around why I wasn't too keen on us signing Connor Salmon, because it maybe just said to me that we're filling our squad with a different plan A rather than having a plan B.
No, I tend to go with that. Looking back in last season, a real issue of debate was Carol McHugh's role as captain, and that time has come to an end over the course of the summer months. He's relinquished the captaincy, and Peter Hartley has been appointed as his replacement. Ben, I think regardless of your thoughts on Carol McHugh, the appointment of Peter Hartley certainly seemed like a very popular one. And almost a no-brainer, really, a real leader in his time on loan from Blackpool in the first half of last season. He's obviously signed a permanent deal and then been ruled out in the second half with injury. But coming back into the team, it looks like a real rock at the heart of our defence and someone that will lead from the back.
Yeah, I thought in the first half of last season, even though Carl McHugh had the armband on, you always got the sense that Hartley was the captain. Carl McHugh has always seemed a bit more quiet on the part, whereas he'd looked to Hartley and he was screaming at anybody he could see, really. So no, I was really happy with that. I also thought it was really brave of Carl McHugh to step down. I mean, it must have been a really, really tough decision for him, and I thought it did hamper him a wee bit. It seemed to be weighing on his mind, and because he is the captain, I think it was also sort of a poison chalice almost, taking over from Keith Lasley, midfield general for many years and a standout captain, and to take over that role, and unless he was as good as him, if not better, there was always going to be backlash, and sadly for him it happened to be that if he did have a poor game, he got it much, much more than any other player.
Yeah, so he found it difficult, didn't he, McHugh? I think there was a real excitement when he was appointed as captain. He didn't quite live up to these expectations, but it was a difficult role, and I think what we're maybe learning as he's returned to centre-half from these League Cup games is that he seems much more comfortable and much more accomplished there. That I think there might be kind of more than a few elements to this decision, regardless of whether Carroll has spoken to Stephen Robinson and said, I don't feel like I should continue as captain, or the club and the management team have decided that it's not a position that suits him anymore. The decision's been made, and now it's up to Carol McHugh to rediscover that forum that made him such a popular figure and such a popular choice as captain when he was appointed.
Yeah, I think it was when he became captain last summer, he was kind of the only choice in the team, if you would have said, because if you think of the personnel we had last summer, it was like a big rebuilding job. A lot of new people in the club. Hamill was getting on a bit and not playing as much. Richard Tate was just in the back of having been injured for a few months. And McHugh's performances at centre-half when he came back from injury towards the end of Robinson's first season, when we just escaped relegation, certainly can't imagine us staying up without them. But the thing for me is, I think he was 24 when he was appointed captain. It's a very young age to be a captain of a football club, and it was maybe a task too far too soon for him. When he was playing in midfield last season, you could almost see the weight of mind, the kind of rude bad decisions. If he maybe made one bad pass, he was more likely to make a second one. And I missed the game at Stranraer on Saturday, and having seen him against Edinburgh City and then again tonight playing central defence, he seems a lot more composed in defence, happy to put his foot in the ball, very, very keen to retain possession, and whereas it seems like he's sort of kicking the ball up the parks, seems like a last resort for him. And I think now that we do have Charles Dunn out for 46 weeks, that could give McHugh an opportunity to have an extended run at centre-half, and we can maybe discover if it is the position for him, because I know, as far as I'm aware, he did only play in midfield for one season before he joined us.
Yeah, he certainly seems much more accomplished, and I think back to games like at Firhill towards the end of last season, where he won every header. He's not exactly the commanding figure on the park, but he's really willing to put his head in where quite often it doesn't belong, and perhaps that was the reason that he got such a horrendous injury at the start of his Motherwell career. But yeah, certainly very brave and courageous, and it'll be interesting to see how that centre-half pairing works. We've had a combination of all sorts, really, with Cedric Keepery and Peter Hartley and Carroll McHugh, and now tonight Cedric Keepery and Carroll McHugh. So the manager's still got decisions to be made there, and you've still got guys like Donnelly and potentially Dunn to come back in, and it really depends on the system we opt to play. But I think of these three positions and what I've seen so far, I would go with Hartley and McHugh, because I think they're the two out of the three that have performed the best in the games I've seen so far.
Yeah, certainly, but I think Robinson is going to show that preference to go three at the back. Hartley will probably play in the middle, I'd imagine, which is where McHugh's played against Edinburgh City and Queen of the South, so I'm not sure whether playing as a sort of sweeper in the three suits him more. Keeper will probably be on the right, and I think McHugh could certainly on the left side of a back three. He is naturally left-sided. He's played a bit of left-back before as well in his early career, so I certainly think that could be a role I could see him filling, and it certainly will be an indicator if we do persist with him just now when Dunn's out injured. At centre-back, we could certainly think of that as his position going forward, perhaps. I don't know if the number change from 8 to 4 has any significance in that as well, as probably the vast volume of players we've got who can play in centre midfield too.
Yeah, I know that's a real bugbear of yours, numbers that don't add up to positions, but I don't know quite often if there's as much thought goes into it as you would like.
There's definitely always room for improvement in that aspect.
We'll just do a wee bit of kind of housekeeping before we finish up. I think it's very important to recognise the fantastic suicide awareness video that was published by the club last week. And I'll start by saying that it wasn't without its controversy. If that issue is to arise, or the issues surrounding it are to be brought up in the future, then yes, we will discuss it, but it's certainly not something we're going to just start discussing just now. The most significant thing for me is this is an issue that has affected young supporters amongst the Motherwell support in recent times, something that our own fans and families of our own supporters have been deeply affected by, a real epidemic happening across Scotland, and particularly in males and young males as well. For the club to be tackling this issue head on, an issue that's becoming an epidemic, was a very significant and a very important thing to do. Nice to see as well clubs across North Lanarkshire all supporting the cause as well. Football, Ben, when these things arise, is completely secondary. It doesn't matter a jot. But what is very encouraging is a community club dealing with an issue that is directly affecting our own community at this given point in time.
Yeah, definitely. I think Motherwell are one of the best for that, within Scottish football, being really in touch with their community and knowing their sort of needs and what is relevant in society. And definitely, like, obviously a sad topic, but it is becoming more of a crisis, especially in Lanarkshire. I know just people around my area, there's been multiple between young males especially committing suicide, but I think Mull have done a really good job, and regardless of the controversy surrounding it, I don't think that should even be took into consideration when talking about that video. I think the video is the main focus, and there's a time and a place for the controversy, but definitely not on a video like that. I think the video in itself should be the main talking point.
And Joey, just to wrap up, and it's been quite pleasant recording a podcast and being able to check match reports from tonight, team lineups from Saturday's game and the Edinburgh City game. The club and the media team, Grant Russell, Lewis Irons, Ali Riley, Ross Clarkson, deserve a huge amount of praise for the work they've done in producing an excellent website, a fully functioning website that brings all arms of the club together. Long overdue, but certainly a massive step in the right direction. Also, nice to go and pick up my season card yesterday to book tickets for tonight's game online. Positive things happening off the park almost on a daily basis at Motherwell Football Club just now.
Absolutely. I think we've been streets ahead of a lot of other clubs in our social media activity for a good few years now. I mean, you're talking like the likes of the content we've got on our YouTube channel, the Pete Six video from last season, even the sort of the graphics that get made prior to every game, that's kind of all something that we can very much be proud of. But I think I had said to Grant on Twitter not long after he started that all this stuff's great, but it's not good when, if you want to find out anything about our players, you have to go to Motherwell's Wikipedia page rather than our website. And I thought maybe we were getting it to the point where we were compromising our website by having all this sort of futuristic content, but I have to say they've completely blown out of the water with the website now that is up and running, and you would say it's worth the wait. It's absolutely fantastic, the attention to detail, and it's brilliant, the speed in it's brilliant, it's very sort of intuitive design in it as well, so kind of all credit where credit's due there. It's been a fantastic job. The only thing I'll probably say is Conor Salmon's self-esteem probably took a hit from being the first player we've signed in 10 years that didn't crash the website.
There was always going to have to be a first, wasn't there, though?
Yep.
Guys, we're approaching midnight, so I'll let you both get to your beds. But firstly, I would like to thank you both for your time tonight and your patience as we experienced a few technical hiccups along the road.
No worries, enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back following the weekend's game against Clyde. Until then, thank you and goodbye. Rolling down the street.